good evening. My name's Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again. It is Tuesday. It's actually Valentine's Day, and we're doing what we love to do, which is talk about Arsenal. So for the next hour, a couple of hours, we will be looking back at the game against Brentford at the weekend, not the result we wanted. Of course, a few incidents to talk about in that game, I'm sure. We've got another slightly big game tomorrow, haven't we? Manchester City visiting the Emirates, of course. So we'll look ahead to that game. And on Saturday as well, is another big game. We visit Aston Villa and our old friend Unai, of course, see what to make of that game as well. So there's lots to get through. All coming up the other side of this. Real Martinelli. It's now with Granit Xhaka. Is it going to be the third goal? It is the third goal. Granit Xhaka with it. That seems... And we have got a full house joining us tonight. Good to see some familiar, friendly faces as well. Melvin, of course, good to have you back. I know, obviously, Mondays don't work too well for you at the minute, but Tuesdays are good for you. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks a lot. From Monday week, I can be back on the Monday slot again. My play is being shown next week. All three people are coming to watch it, you know, so after that, I'll be all right for Mondays.
Well, you'll have to give it, at the end of the show, give it a good plug. So make sure everybody turns up and comes along and watches your lovely play. It's going to be great. Get behind our fantastic amateur dramatics guy here, Melvin, who does some great work. Steve, of course, as well. Stevio, good to see you back. Are you okay this week?
Mate, happy Valentine's Day, you beautiful, beautiful man, you. And yes, what a beautiful month to have on this great day to talk about the magic Arsenal. And Melvin, mate, get me a ticket. I'll be the fourth man. I'll heckle you. I've got loads of on through and we're all ready to go, mate. Ready to go. Get us a ticket, mate. I'll be there.
Michael Jackson, I'll be there.
And of course, back on the show again, of course, it is Lee as well. Are you okay tonight, Lee?
I'm great, Rich. I've always wanted to be in the Tuesday Club, and now I'm in it.
There you go. What more could you want? Life is complete. Hey, life is complete.
Life is complete. No Mercer or Parlour or nine pints of lager there. I'm a poet, and I didn't know it.
This Tuesday Club's better than that other Tuesday Club.
I'm sure it is.
Anyway, of course, there's only one place we can really start, and that is going back, of course, to Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, unusually, and a rather, what should we say, incident-packed game, maybe we could call it. I mean, there was obviously some good aspects to the game and some not so good. I thought the performance was not as... the level that we've got used to this season, especially at home. I thought we were a little bit off it, maybe a hangover a little bit from the Everton game. And Brentford were very good, I thought. I mean, I wasn't feeling too great over the weekend, and I did watch the game, but I maybe wasn't totally focused on it at the time. I've watched it back since. And yeah, we didn't play particularly well. Brentford had a good performance. I was expecting them to, because they're unbeaten in now 10 games, and you can see why, because they've got a system that works, they've got some good players, and really, despite all the controversy over their goal, which we will talk about, I thought a draw was probably about as much as we deserved out of the game anyway. And we can complain about the referee all we like, and I'm sure we will, but ultimately we didn't do enough on the day to win the game anyway. And that to me is a bigger issue than a refereeing mistake, which cost us a goal that maybe or may not have cost us points. We won't know what happened, because if it was 1-0, Brentford would have probably changed their... they wouldn't have played the same way in the last 15 minutes as they did at 1-1 if it was still 1-0 perhaps. But anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Melvin, what did you make of it? Because, I mean, obviously, we look as though we've just slightly lost our way in the last couple of games, haven't we? That the spark's gone, hasn't it, shall we say?
Yeah, I think teams have probably learned how to play against us, how to nullify us. They've learned that, and we haven't changed with it. I think a couple of reasons. Number one, we do miss Jesus, because in my opinion, Martinelli is not the same player without him. The two guys switch all the time. At the moment, all Martinelli can do is go down the flanks, and he's got one channel. with Zeus, there's got the old interplay, and they've done
more movement.
And his confidence is gone, even against Newcastle. Before he, even after about 10, 15 minutes, if you notice, when he did cut inside a couple of times, he didn't even shoot. He didn't have the confidence. That confidence has gone since Jesus is not in the team. That's obvious. Also, it's so difficult. You're watching it and you know what's going wrong. And my biggest disappointment from the game, the referee or whatever, the VAR geezer or whatever it is, that take that out of the equation. They were probably one of the best teams I've seen at the Emirates, Brentford, for a long time.
Yeah.
I know they did try and stifle us and waste the time, but they came to play football. And they played football, reminded me a little bit, only to a little bit, as when we first played in the first game of the season when they bullied us. They were doing a little bit of that on Saturday.
Yeah.
And good, that's it. It works for them. Why not? But what disappointed me, and I'm sorry to be negative, is that when we went 1-0 up, they were still a threat. We knew that they were a threat for 90 minutes. When we went 1-0 up, we didn't have to look for the second goal. We could have put Tierney on, for example. We could have pushed Zinchenko in midfield and taken Xhaka off, because he's not a defensive midfielder anymore, Xhaka. So we didn't dispense with that. We could have tried other things. For me, Ben White has lost a bit of spark. We've had a great season, don't get me wrong. He's lost a bit of spark. But for me, what I've seen of him the last couple of games, Tommy has been the old Tommy.
Yeah. Right?
There was no reason not. And Tommy, with all due respect, I think would have been in the right position to stop their goal, offside or not, because he's great in the air and he's a very, very, very good defender. But all this, and also, I know that Ben White overlaps with Saka very, very well, but he stopped that a little. He did a couple on Saturday. Right up Saka.
Great.
And supporting him. I think that's where Saka lacked. I love Saka, and I'm not having a go at him. He's doing his best he can against two players every 2 minutes of the game. So that's what we didn't change it. We didn't say, you know what, we're 1-0 up, let's bit of game management. We had no game management. And for Arsenal, that is so, so important. I love Arteta. Yeah, he's brilliant, blah, blah, blah. I'm giving him all that. Give him all the plaudit. But I think he still lacks tactically in certain games, in certain areas. I'm sorry. I wouldn't change him for anybody, but it doesn't mean you can't be critical.
Could do better, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I've always had question marks over certain aspects of the way he manages the team. And, you know, it's been covered up a lot this season because the performances have been so good and we've won so many games and you don't think about it. Of course you don't. Why would you? What, you're not going to think about all the negative things when you're winning games every week. And you don't. But when things aren't going well, that's when you learn more about everybody. We've said this before. And you learn more about your manager, you learn more about your players when things aren't going your way. And how can you impact that? How can you change that? And that's the one thing that you're totally right. We played exactly the same starting 11 for God knows, I don't even know how many weeks now. And I saw a graphic the other day. In a whole of the Premier League season so far, 20 games, we've made 14 changes to the starting
11. The fewest, Rich?
Mile. Chelsea have done the most. They've made 73. I'm not saying we should be doing that many, but you know, look at the difference between us and Chelsea who have made the most. We've made 14 changes right now.
Yeah.
Arteta clearly only trusts that those certain few players in the squad. He doesn't trust the rest of them. Clearly he doesn't. And that's a big problem when you're trying to fight for a title and the players look tired. Martinelli's been off form. You're 100% right. Yeah. Saka's been looking tired. He's getting double marked every game. He's struggling to have as much. Yes, he set the goal up. That was brilliant. But those moments are becoming more and more fleeting now as you know, he's getting marked out of the games more easily now because he's tired. And we need the team needs freshening up. We're looking stale. I mean, Steve, I know you're probably going to look at all the positives about the performance, and it was a great goal. You know, we did well to get in front in a game we didn't play particularly well in. But as Melvin rightly said, and I 100% agree, when we were 1-0 up, we should have managed that game much, much better. We shouldn't allow them the chance to get that goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to be quite controversial here, actually. You know, normally I'm quite positive.
Glass half full, normally.
Yeah. So three quarters full, actually, normally. I've when it comes to glass. Although my wine glass is running out, so we'll get there. So I think it starts, actually, with Gabriel and Saliba. That they have not been on form, right? You know, our back four really, I mean, with the exception of Zinchenko, who has been, I don't know what the guy's been a revelation, but genuinely, stupid mistakes. At the beginning of the season, those guys weren't making it. And when I look at them, and I look at there's something not quite right. There's something not clicking. Ben White as well seems to be going backwards. I absolutely agree that Tommy Ashley should be playing and potentially rotate Saliba out, if I'm honest with you, because he just doesn't look right. He doesn't look like that player, you know, that was you know, so if you go four or five games into it at the beginning of the season, he might just need a break. He might not just need a break, and we can move Ben White in there. We need the aggressiveness of Tommy Ashley and what he brings, and maybe more direct play. Martinelli looks lost. And Melvin, to be honest with you, I don't think it's so much that he's missing Jesus, but I think he's a little bit tired. And when we see Xhaka and Martinelli rotate, so that's the interesting one. I'm not seeing it as much. When Martinelli comes in, becomes a lot more effective. Where he's coming rather than bomb down the wing, let's go and then try and go right, and then let's take a shot at it. You know, it's blah 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 blah. When they rotated Xhaka and Martinelli around, Martinelli became, you know, went more central. And yes, it compacted us up a little bit more, but it gave us just that little bit more threat. Not seeing that, and I think that comes from the fact that we're trying to look at Zinchenko, who really wants to be a midfielder rather than left. So I think it's starting at the back, if I'm honest with you. Across the team is lackluster. Eddie's just not doing it. He's not putting those chances away. And whatever that happens to be, he's a young guy. It's a young team that goes in. But it goes back to what you're saying. Bit of squad rotation. We've got some new players. You know, Trossard obviously scored the goal. I mean, it's a tap-in, but he scored the goal. We cannot be reliant, okay, on the idiots that adjudicate this team. Like, you know, like Daniela Westbrook would have got straight a lines, to be honest with you, on that on with VAR. And if you're, you know, I know we're going to talk about it, but honestly, we I've said this time and time and time again, like, we cannot rely on these guys. We have to be scoring goals. We're not scoring goals. And I'm sorry, and I've tried to be positive about Eddie, but ultimately, this is the crunch. Tomorrow is such a massive game, like, that everybody's got to turn up, but we look tired. Look, lackluster. And I don't think so much as the teams have figured us out. I just think that we've lost a little bit of our spark. And when we look at Odegaard, someone like Odegaard, like, you know, that talismanic kind of player that he is, it feels forced to me. It really does feel forced. So I'm starting straight at the back. I'm starting straight defence. There's an uneasiness there at this moment in time. And I think that's permeating all the way through the team. And you're absolutely right. You know, Bukayo Saka, to me, is he's getting a living daylights kicked out of him on a regular basis. That bullying is just a bit more with him. Well, he's not getting the support. Now, I'm not saying it's a big conspiracy or anything like that, but he is getting kicked out of the game on a regular basis. So of course, the kids, it's going to wear on them. But it's tantamount for the rest of the team to pick up the mantle and actually help him drive, cause those problems, bring those. And Martinelli's got to, I don't know what's wrong with the guy, because he's an amazing, amazing talent. And there's something not quite right there at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Martinelli's not on his game. There's no doubt about that. And it seems only a matter of time until Trossard is getting in a starting team in his place. He's been knocking at the door. He got the goal on Saturday, and he's looked dangerous and a threat every time he's played so far for us, you know, in a few appearances that he's made. I don't think that's going to be long, but Arteta worried me a little bit today in his press conference talking about, or he was asked about rotating the squad, and he was sort of saying, well, you know, players are going to get opportunities soon. He said soon, meaning that he's going to stick with the same team for the next four games, as far as I can see, until he's forced them to make changes due to injuries. That's my feeling I got from the way he responded to the question, which is a bit of a worry, because we do need freshening up. There's no doubt at the moment.
Do you not think it's just a little bit of the normal poophousery that he likes to do? You know, Haaland's not going to play.
It might be. Yeah, it might be.
Haaland's injured. He's definitely not going to play. BS.
No, I don't believe any of that.
It
seems strange to me that Haaland got injured when they're 3-0 up against Aston Villa. I'll take him off. Let's pretend he's injured. It's fine. We've won the game. We can make this story about him for build up to the game. I don't know. But anyway, I mean, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I get the feeling that Arteta's not necessarily thinking of changing too many things, because he doesn't like to change much, does he? And he's a bit of a worry. I mean, Lee, what did you make of the performance on Saturday? Because, you know, following on from Everton, he kept the same team and we played the same way and we got...
Yeah.
almost the same result, slightly. Yeah, better, I mean, not worse than we're at home.
I think that's it, Rich. I think it is. The headline would be flogging Plan A to death, right? And just crossing your fingers, Plan A is going to work. And we're starting to sound like a record got stuck. And I think I kind of agree with the points Melvin and Steve's made. I'd say it's probably 50% Melvin's point that we haven't got Jesus. When you've got someone like Jesus who's so tricky and his movement's so good and he's such a dangerous player, if you're a defender, you're so worried about Jesus is doing, it's giving Martinelli more space, right? But we haven't really got that, any kind of ambles about, and he works hard, definitely works hard, but he obviously is nowhere near the quality of Jesus. So consequently, as a defender, you've only really got to worry about Martinelli and what Martinelli's going to do. And then to Steve's point, Martinelli's lost a lot of his confidence. It's just not happening for him. So he's struggling. He's labouring. And again, I agree with the guys on the right-hand side, right? Now, Ben White's been pretty solid. You can really dig him out. He's not really let us down. But we're trying to use him to overlap. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, he's no Lee Dixon or he's no Tommy. Right. And if we're playing that way, time and time again, written down in my notes, I was up in the North Bank. Right. And it was like every time that overlapping ball come through, he ran down and he lifted it. And we were doing it for, I think, Sinchenko done it from the left. We kept lifting it into the box. The only time we hit it hard and low across is when we scored. So there's two balls that you do. When you hit the byline, you pull it back for an absolute sitter. Yep. Brentford did it at the bar, or you drive it hard and low. They're the two hardest things to do. The easiest things to do when you get that ball, so Saka stops and he knocks it down the line, Ben White runs, the easiest thing to do is just to lift it. And the problem is, last time I looked, we never had Frank Stoper or Ian Wright in the box. Right? I can guarantee you that, and they were doing it all game. And the minute the ball went in the air, I could have gone and got a burger because we weren't scoring. Now, because we just don't have that body in there, that kind of poacher, or as I say, we don't have a Frank Stoper waiting just to knock it in. So we're flogging a dead horse.
Sorry to interrupt, Lee. That's a lazy ball, in my opinion.
Melvin, it's to my point, it's lazy because it's easy. It's a skill.
Thank you.
You overlap, you run, you think, right, okay, the easiest skill out of the three is to float it. The hardest one is to pull it back and find someone.
Yeah, across,
the next hardest the is probably to whack it across the box hard. Now, Tommy or Lee Dixon, you see what I mean? They do it time and time again, and they do it really well. So for me, Ben, and I think Steve, you said, or maybe it's you, Melvin, Ben's just dropped off, and he's not particularly let us down, but you wouldn't use him in a million years as an attacking, overlapping fullback, would you? Not in a million years. So the other point I'd made was... what was it? I mean, I think personnel-wise, I think Trossard's nailed on to start tomorrow. Nailed on to start. Just let me finish, Rich. I think he's either nailed on to start on the left, and I know you're thinking, no, Lee, he won't change it. He's going to stick with the same. I think tomorrow he's kind of run out of options for me, because Martinelli, not been terrible, but he's been 5 out of 10, too many games. So for me, he's going to come in on the left. If Arteta really was a gambler, and we know he's not, he'd keep Martinelli and he'd put Trossard down the middle.
Yeah, that absolutely.
Right? Go for it. Right. And but he ain't going to do that, Rich, because he's not that much of a gambler. But I think Trossard's going to end up on the left-hand side tomorrow. But we shall see. But overall, just let me finish. I think standing there, I thought I was going to be having my half-time burger with us 3-0 down. They hit the post. That's great chances. Yeah. And it's not like you say, well, God, if we're going to play against Man City, then we could be 4 down. But the truth is, and going the points you made, Rich, they're a decent side. They're great. They're a really good attacking side. And they're a handful, a real handful. So you could argue Man City had probably not been, in some ways, they're similar kind of levels of threat. You know, they're obviously different. They're more forensic, aren't they? And they'll try and cut you to pieces, Mahrez, etc. But Brentford are a different type of problem, but they're still a massive threat. But they could have easily been 3-0 up at half-time and would have been dead and buried. So,
we played into their hands a little bit as well, didn't we? I thought, you know, we we've made it easy for them on the day.
Yeah.
They played well.
Yeah,
and I agree, they're a good side with good players. They've got a good system that works really well for them. But we played into their hands, I thought. We were just too predictable.
Go on, Melvin.
What I would just to add on to it, you're saying play Trossard in the middle. I thought the other day what I would prefer to do is play Trossard on the left and put Martinelli on in the middle.
Yeah, maybe.
He's not working from an Arsenal. I think Martinelli could do a job in the middle until Jesus comes back. And is Eddie now the National Health Service of Arsenal? You're not allowed to say anything bad about him.
Yeah,
that's what it seems to me.
The last two games, he's been you've seen that if we want to be serious about challenging for the title, Eddie is not good enough as our centre forward. He's not, unfortunately. He's just not good enough. He's just not
since United game when he done brilliantly. What's he contributed in any respect? Nothing,
He'll
have a good game even there. He'll score the odd goal here and there. Of course he will, because he gets himself into decent positions at times. But he's not a good enough player to lead your attack when you're trying to win the
league.
Title.
To win
the
league,
he's not good enough. He's not. If we were just going to be looking to come fourth, battling for fourth, fifth and sixth place, he's probably okay to do that job. But not when you're trying to win the league. It's a different kind of
player. We've got to be honest, Rich, haven't we? Like Melvin said, it's like slagging the NHS. No supporter wants to berate your own player, but you just ask. We've been watching football a long time between us, right? And he's decent, but he's not gonna be winning you the league or getting you very far in the Champions. Yeah, not in a million years. I don't know what other people are watching if they think that he's anything different. I mean we love him.
All you've got to think back is last season. He came in the team. We were fourth, and we finished fifth. And that's not just because of him. No, I'm not blaming him for that. But he was in the team that fell down the league at the end. And, I can see the same thing happening now if he's keep playing in the team. The same thing is going to happen. And that's because he isn't at the level that you need.
No,
he's just not quite there, unfortunately.
I'm of the opinion that Trossard's an absolute nightmare. Like, if we were to put him in, he would be an absolute nightmare.
He played well against City, didn't he, in the Cup? He had a good game against them. He can run and regularly. He can. I want to see him play tomorrow, but I don't think he will.
No defence like him. And again, it goes back to what we're saying. That there is, not malaise. Malaise is the wrong word. I think there is there's a drop in...
overall standard across the board. We dropped down from about 8 to about 6.
You can see there's a drop in morale in the team. You can absolutely see that. And something needs to happen. And this whole thing about, we're one big happy family, and that's brilliant. I love that. I think it's absolutely great. And it's the way to grow a team. But you've got some very young players that ultimately we need some very calm heads in there. We have a massive, massive game, season defining game tomorrow. I mean, this is the game all season, and it's great to see that Tottenham are 1-0 down as well. Just saw that come through on the cap, and also and thank you to the good people of Leicester for their for last week.
Cheer us up,
cheering us up on that one. But look, guys, we've lost one, we've lost two actually, and drawn one, haven't we? So that's where we're at this moment in time. So tomorrow is drawn two. Yeah, so it's drawn two, sorry. So tomorrow's the defining game. The defining game for us for our whole season as to whether we're winning. Not for top four, so and take that to one side, right? That's the defining game. We have the champions elect, right? And they're turning up at our manor. So whatever the morale problems are, I think it's it's down to Arteta to maybe, have to sacrifice some of these players. Not literally sacrifice them, I don't know if you mean like I'm not saying sacrifice, I think it's firm but fair, Melvin. It's firm but fair. So if Elneny gets sacrificed, I'm gonna go with that.
It's just like the Roman times.
Yeah, mate. Just that will focus. That will focus everybody. Absolutely focus. Maybe we should do that.
Back it up. Squid Games. You got to keep focus, haven't you?
He's just eviscerated. Let's get him eviscerated.
I think tomorrow is all about it's a case of going for it, right? I don't particularly think it's a game we have to win. I think it'd be a massive shot in the arm that we do. But I kind of do think we need to make this change tomorrow with Trossard and maybe, either Trossard in the middle or Martinelli in the middle and be bold. And I'm kind of, you know, I want to believe Arteta's brave enough to do it, because I think it's really needed. If we just if that team comes out and it's exactly the same, I'm gonna, you know, I'm not gonna be massively enamoured with our chances of winning, because I don't think they're no great shape, City at the back. We can definitely get them at the Emirates. So I just think it's all about mentality. But we don't lose. I mean, I know I'm going to go half gas, half full. A draw is not the end of the world, right? For me, there's so many games to go, and I don't believe it. I don't believe it's season defining. I really don't. Having what so many title run-ins over the years, it always makes me laugh with 10, even 9 or 10 games to go, when people go, "Well, that's it. The 7 points clear." It's all, no, it isn't, because you get to the last 4 or 5, as we all found out in 89, right? Wimbledon and Derby, it's never over till it's over. And those last 5 or 6 games, suddenly you're playing with concrete boots on. So there's still a hell of a long way. Of course, you don't want to lose. You know, a draw, it's not the end of the world tomorrow. There's so many games to go. So I won't be throwing myself in front of a bus I might do if we lose, but if we draw, it won't be the end of the world.
I agree. There's so many games left. It isn't the end of the world tomorrow, regardless. Win, lose, or draw. Nothing's decided tomorrow. And there's 18, 17 games left afterwards. So, of course it's not decided tomorrow.
No.
But, you know, we've had some comments coming already. Terry's in the chat, as always. He says, good evening, Richard the Drone. Yeah, I was out of my drone today, actually. Magic Melvin, Steve-O and Lee. Colonel's in the chat as well. How you doing, mate? Good to see you. Loki as well. As always, good to see you as well. Mark, so you're talking about Martinelli there, says, isn't trying to take on the guys on the outside anymore.
It's
no,
cutting
it's
back.
Confidence.
Yeah,
it's a confidence. Terry said, we need to start the game with 11 men. We can't keep starting with Eddie. He's not good enough. We just sort of mentioned that. Mark C makes a good point. Ivan Toney is someone I wouldn't mind us buying. I mean, that was one thing that really shone through, didn't it, on Saturday, the two centre-forwards. Arsenal challenging for the title with Eddie Nketiah as their centre-forward. Brentford, who are little Brentford, their second season in the Premier League, have got Ivan Toney, who would transform us.
Yeah.
He would transform us, wouldn't he, Ivan? Yeah. That's the way he played.
He would. And the other Rich. And the other forward.
Everything.
Yeah.
He's a goal for it. And, I mean, I don't know.
What's his name? The left footer.
We're not going to buy
the left footer they got.
Yeah. I can't think of his name.
I
think he's fantastic. I mean, he's good as well. Handful in that first half. I mean, he created, you know, most of the damage up front. Yeah, he was backing into the defender. Yeah.
He should have stood. Yeah, of course he should. It wasn't a foul. He slipped over, didn't he?
No.
It wasn't a foul.
Of course he did. Yeah, but you look on Twitter, everyone's conveniently forgot that.
of course.
Yeah, it's all
you've got to say it.
Of course it is. It, you know, it is. Sometimes it makes me laugh, all the complete, you know, it's corruption, this, that, and the other. All right, okay.
It's massive. These guys, these sort of guys are earning an absolute fortune, these refs, right? And they're idiots. They're absolute idiots, right? Look at Chelsea. Look at us. There's a whole load of them. Like, you give them one job, right? So, seriously, let me just kind of work my way through this. You got one job. One of them is to put a frigging line, right? Here's a picture. I'm going to put two lines with a computer. I'll show him how to put the lines on, right? Mm-hmm. And you look up the whole thing. And for them to then turn round and say to you, boys, we made a bit of a mistake here, but screw you. You know, what do I care? It doesn't matter. Yeah, we made a mistake, but, you know, we'll do something about it. But what will you do? When we got the same idiot that did exactly the same at the Man United game that ruled Martinelli offside when he wasn't offside against Man United, we've got that same idiot tomorrow. The guy that forgot to put the line in, it was from frigging Manchester, right, as well. So you've got to look at this, Steve.
I kind of, my way of looking at it is, right, I have hated forever since VAR came in, all its lines were offside. If you look at it, are you sure, is it definitely offside or not? I don't know, give a goal, right? If we scored that goal, I would have been wanting that goal to stand, right? Because it didn't look obvious. It's supposed to be clear and obvious errors, right? And that was a line you had to look at. You didn't even get a proper line of the second offside because it wasn't even in line. So you couldn't actually tell if it was offside or not. You may have been, you may not have been.
Rich, it goes back to this thing.
I'm not fussed about that.
If you are going to bring this technology in, right? If you are going to say this is how we're going to make it right,
scrap it. Get rid of it. That's what I'm saying. Get rid of it.
Get it right. Or don't do it at all. Or get rid of the village idiots that are running it because they're obviously stupid.
I kind of think they've got more right looking at it overall. They've definitely got more decisions right than they've got wrong, right? Without a shadow of a doubt, by using the technology. Has it improved the game? No. It's not, is it? It hasn't improved the game. So then you've got to weigh up. I mean, for me, you didn't need VAR, but from the free kick that they had, the guy was standing in an offside position, wasn't he? From the initial free kick.
Yeah.
To me, that was up. Never mind. As Rich says, the second one was a bit more. There were players moving back and forward. That was tougher to see. They should have picked it up. But the first one, when they kicked the ball, he was standing in an offside position.
But he wasn't even active in that phase of play, though, was he? It was the guy, he headed the ball later on in the second phase of play. But when he was offside, he wasn't even involved in that play because the ball went to Ivan Toney, who crossed it in, didn't he?
It went over the back.
Offside. So, I mean, I don't think, yes, I mean, if you want to draw the lines on the pitch, you could say, yes, there was offside, the goal shouldn't have stood, right? But I don't want to see all that nonsense. If you can see it clearly is offside, it's offside. If it isn't, if you can't see it clearly offside, it isn't offside, just get on with the game. Stop messing about. Yeah. Stop, as you said, Lee, you're right, it's ruined the game. Yeah. Whether they did it right or wrong is irrelevant to me now. I don't even care. Getting it wrong. We can deal with that. We can deal with the referee on the pitch getting it wrong. We did that for 50, 60, 700 years, right? Let's go back to that because we can deal with that. All this other stuff is just makes everyone's focusing on this offside goal that Brentford scored, not how terrible we played, not what defending that was for that free kick. What's Aaron Ramsdale doing? What is he doing? Yeah. What's that all about? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Why aren't we focusing on the real issues?
Not stupid
things that are
I agree.
Totally. Richard, I called it after the game. I said this, I don't know where it was. I was chatting to someone. I said, there's a question mark over Ramsdale. I reckon the other keeper would have saved that and not put himself in that position.
Agreed. He wouldn't have done that. Honestly, Why has he even done that?
He committed himself. He didn't have to be committed. The geezer was on the side. He wasn't in front of him.
He wasn't going to score from there, wasn't he?
No, exactly.
All he needs to do is cross it.
So be in the right position.
Let him lob the ball in the 6-yard box and catch it. Yeah. That's all you've got to do. What is he doing? And he does this too many times for me. He has rash of blood to the head and he goes and does something stupid. He does it more and more regularly.
Yeah, he has got a touch of the old, the Everton goalkeepers, where he has to be involved. And he was slightly at fault, the Man U goal, the header, and he should have come, we fought the other week, didn't we, against Everton, come for the cross and again on Saturday. So he's kind of, he is a young goalkeeper, but it basically doesn't matter. You have to just judge. He should be still at the top level. But unfortunately, he's making mistakes and as you say, we're all looking over there at the officials.
Yeah, forget
that. Instead of looking at our team, we could have been 3-0 down at half time. That's a fact.
My worry is, and Arteta's been going on about it, he wants his 2 points back. He said, I know he was half joking in the press conference today, but if that's what everybody thinks, that was a problem with Brentford, is that, if the referee done his job, we'd have won that game 1-0. That's completely ignoring all of the bad stuff that happened in that game.
If the referee would have done his job, we'd have been the luckiest team alive.
We didn't deserve to win that game. Absolutely no chance.
But at the end of the day, we would have been very lucky. I'd have got out of that and gone, I don't know how we won that game.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's even mentioned the old match of the day that the Brentford goal that got disallowed when there was nothing wrong with it. It was just glossed over, wasn't it?
Well, even our poor performance has been glossed over by everybody.
Totally.
No one wants to focus on it. Everyone wants to focus on a line that wasn't drawn on a screen. Who cares? Why didn't we win that game?
We're more matte. No. We're more a matte finish rather than a gloss finish here, mate. No. We're not glossing over it.
No. We have had some bad decisions over the years, but I still does anyone really believe in this? I read about a conspiracy theory, but I watch other games. And I see teams being robbed every week.
Yeah,
maybe not so much. I'd say Man United at home and Liverpool.
But we don't care about them, though. We don't care about the other. We see them every week, and we don't care. But it happens to us, and we care. So we think it's worse because it happens to us.
Yeah.
It isn't worked. It's actually the same. They're terrible across the board, all of them.
My pendulum slightly swings a little bit against what you two are saying. Perhaps it's not. I could pick out things like I've never seen a geezer book twice in 30 seconds to be sent off ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, I've never seen that.
Get me. I've never seen a geezer.
Martinelli
at Wolves. I went to Aston Villa a couple of seasons ago where a geezer kicks our geezer in the knee behind him and he gets sent off and we have a penalty. Wolves. To me, it's like, what did he supposed to be kicking back?
Yeah, you're right.
Things like that. But I'm biased, I admit. That's what, I'm an Arsenal supporter.
Melvin, if I sat you down in a room for 4 weeks, right, and said, right, for 24 hours, you're going to watch all these games over the last 5 years, you find instances like that in every single game, but you only care about Arsenal, don't you? And I'm not saying...
You're probably right, Lee.
If I sat
you in a room for 8 weeks, you would never find a penalty given away like that, that one, David Luiz. I'm sorry, that was a bit strange.
No, you're right. I don't think you would.
Twice in 30 seconds.
Yeah. No, you won't. That's never happened before. Know. You're right.
I can't remember one off the top of my head.
But there's been other decisions in other games that equally hasn't happened. It hasn't happened to us. Hasn't happened to anybody else.
We're not the only team that has bad decisions. No. Look at West Chelsea the other day. That was a disgrace.
That
was.
And also, you're blaming the ref. Steve's blaming the ref, and he's right. But you've got to blame the geezers with the monitor. They've got one job. Yeah. Did he save it with his aim? Yes.
I'm not
the referee may not have seen it. But he's got the second one.
Melvin,
Watch what happens here. It's going to touch his aim. And that's it. They still don't give it.
I'm not blaming the ref. What I'm turning around and saying is, listen, you're the adjudicators, right? You're the one that comes up with these ridiculous rules and these ridiculous systems, right? Yeah. Just do them properly. Right. If you can't put the lines and Rich, it's not about the line. It's not about the lines whether it's offside or not. If that is the rules, right, you have to put the lines in, right, and have a look whether somebody's offside. Then do it. It's not.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah. I know. You should do it.
Get across the referees so that. Sorry, ma'am. Just quickly. Get a level of sort of performance across those referees, right, that are relevant for the most. Exciting, the most expensive league in the world, right? The best performing league. Get the officials that are actually good enough to do
standard,
it.
Yeah.
Idiots.
I agree with you. The referees are terrible. I agree. Yeah, go on, Melvin.
First one, I don't agree with the law that it's got to be a
phase.
I think
with different phases.
No, it's complete and obvious mistake. Forget about that.
Clear and obvious,
when they see it on the screen, they see, they give what they see, not what the referee half saw.
Yeah.
That's a get out for the referees. What's that expression? Something mistake. Something or obvious mistake. Right?
Clear and obvious.
That's it. Thanks, Richard. But number two, what I would get rid of as well, I would not have anyone in that VAR studio that knows anyone that's a referee.
Yeah.
Exactly. It should be independent.
If that means, and every country can do it, but we're the worst, to get referees from other countries to do it, because otherwise it's a conflict of interest. How can you have a go at a ref, slaughter a ref, tell him what a mistake you've made, we've got to change it, and you're working for him next, with him on the pitch next week or the next game. It's not right, and they're all under the same umbrella. Therefore, they all know each other, and it's a bit
it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. As Steve said. Yeah, Steve said, Melvin.
It's all the Arsenal. It just bends.
No. It's just an obvious flaw in it. With all the money involved, why would you have this, like, you're the referee, Melvin, you've got Richard, like your mate, he's the running VAR. Richard sees something, and he's thinking, oh, God, I really want to back Melvin up, but he's kind of got that wrong. I'll back Melvin up. It's human nature, isn't it? To back up your mate.
You mustn't do that. It's a conflict of interest, surely.
Yeah. You're right. It is a conflict of interest, but I mean, it is a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, to get referees in from other countries, maybe that's the way forward for VAR. But in every other country, VAR works well. It's just here that it seems to be an issue. And the one thing in common with that is our referees are running it, and they are all useless, every single one of them. Are they useless? Are they corrupt? We don't know. But we've got to stop. We've got to stop worrying about them. We've just got to. We can't keep blaming them for our mistakes as well. Yeah. You know, we had two, three opportunities to clear that ball against Brentford, and we didn't. And everyone's blaming the referee for not drawing a line on the... Yeah, he should have drawn a line. I agree with Steve. It's his job to do that. He should do that, and he should be fired for not doing it. But it isn't why we didn't win that game, is it?
No. We were second best.
What happened was, when he got home, he undone his pocket and he goes, what's this ruler and pencil in my pocket? What did I say?
Yeah. I don't know if they... I think technology's moved on slightly from pen and pencils, you know, Melvin, now, but, you know, we get the idea. But, yeah, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's his job. He should have done it 100%. Of course he should. And he didn't, and he should be sacked. Well, he won't be because, like you said, they all stick up for each other, don't they? They're not even allowed to come out in the press and speak about it, are they? So, you know where we are with them. It's, you know, they need to be more... more transparent, and they're never going to be. So there's so many problems with refereeing that we could go on about that all night, but I don't want to focus on that too much because that isn't the reason why we only drew with Brentford, is it?
We didn't perform. No, we didn't perform.
You're absolutely right. We've got to take that on the chin, and as fans and as a team, we've got to realise, you know, just how bad we've been over these last few games and how important tomorrow's going to be.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know, we can't focus on that because if we do, we're going to lose track of what's important. And Terry says, "Yeah, why can't we play Trossard, Martinelli and Saka across the spot?" Yeah, we're into that. Why can't we? I don't know.
Three good players.
He'll tell you why, because he doesn't want it. That's the reason, the only reason. Mark, he's made a good point here, maybe similar though with the referees. It's a slightly off topic, but when's the last time we won a penalty? Well, we've only had one this season, haven't we? And that was against Liverpool, Saka, wasn't
Chelsea?
It?
Chelsea? Who is it against, Rich?
Liverpool at home, we won 3-2.
And that one, to be fair, that wasn't even a penalty. It wasn't even a penalty. No, it was the old classic. Well, he felt a touch, you got to go. And it really winds me up when pros say, well, you feel a touch, you've got to go down. So what you're saying is, right,
you've got to cheat.
And that's exactly great. And rather than a bit of, this does my head in, where people go, so many people, fans, players go, yeah, you felt the touch. So that's what you should know. The referee should be able to judge, right? Is like the Kevin De Bruyne one when he got slightly touched. Is that 14-stone athlete, right? Is he going to go down like he's been shot when someone taps his ankle? No. Oh, but he felt a touch. So you got, you know, you got Shearer sitting there going, well, you know, it's a professional game. No, it's cheating. It's cheating. That's Shearer, isn't it?
That's what he used to do.
That's not turning around and saying, I've got 25 million in a Gibraltar bank account that I forgot to pay my tax on. That's cheating as well.
It winds me up, Steve. It's the biggest thing in the game that winds me up. Oh, you know, and so many players say, well, you know, what are you going to do? Your teammates will have a go if you don't go down. What if you don't cheat? Are we just going to accept we're all going to cheat? Is that what's going to make our game?
Harry Kane does it.
Harry Kane does it. What makes it worse, Lee? What makes it worse is that a lot of players, especially Saka for one, stays on his feet. And the ref will not give him a penalty ever.
Yeah, it does. So, good point, Melvin. Good, very good point. Yeah, yeah. That's the opposing argument. I get it. 100% true. No.
But in answer to Mark C's point, maybe the reason why we don't get many penalties is because we are too honest.
I agree
with you, Lee. I hate all the cheating. I hate all that. One of the worst things about football. And it needs to be stopped. Referees need to send players off straight away. No, booking them. Send them straight off. And then they'll stop doing it.
It's a mentality thing, isn't it?
But while things are like they are, if we don't play the game, we're not going to get the penalties.
We lose them. No, exactly. Yeah. It is, without saying it, but it is more of a South American and Latin thing, right? Hence Jesus hitting the deck, right? It is. And whereas Saka is just trying to stay on his feet, He's got a player holding on his arm, hanging on his shirt, and he's still carry on. Jesus, Liverpool, tap of the ankle, straight down the deck, wouldn't he?
Okay. Yeah. I know that's South America used to be, but I don't think we can say that anymore. There's someone called Grealish creeping in the league.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's creeping in.
I think we've got to look at him a little bit somehow.
Yeah,
he's got Latin hair, hasn't he? That's probably why. It's his Latin hair that makes him do that. Maybe. Yeah,
it's definitely crept in. You're right. You're right, Melvin. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yourself.
He's got Latin hair and with a hairband and all that kind of carry on. What's the matter with him? Come on. That's not English hair, is it?
About tomorrow.
Yeah, but the good thing is, Melvin, think about his fellas, right? It's really been highlighted the last two or three days about the really picking up on it. is diving and looking. I mean, on the radio, on the I don't know about match of the day.
Yeah, all
I
can hear about is diving. That tomorrow.
No,
yeah,
So, you see what I mean, Rick? We might have a week's grace. He might go get away with it next week. Tomorrow night, they'll be waiting for him to dive. I think.
I like
it. Yeah, I think so as well.
Penalty first minute, Grealish.
We'll shut up.
Exactly.
We better not mention that anymore. Mark C says, can we get the club photographer in the changing room pre-match to deliver the team talk? No. How about he just concentrates on taking photos, which is what his job is. That's what I want him to do. He's very good at taking photos, and they're very good photos. But get on with that, mate, and let the people that are paid to give the team talks give the team talks, because that's their job.
Not a whole pony. No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I'm told he's a decent centre forward as well, so he might try that out.
Well, maybe. He couldn't be any worse than the current centre forward we've got, could he? Let's be honest.
Slander.
Yeah, sorry.
By the way, let me tell you who Steve is, by the way. I'm going to highlight this. So Steve himself. So we work together. He's our MLS correspondent based out of Texas. And he's a massive Man City fan. And has been. Hold on. Has been from the 70s, right? This ain't one that he's just come across.
Colin Bell.
He's currently, I know he's working, and I know nobody at work's going to be watching this, but he's working right now, and I know he's on the call, but he's also watching the PSG game as well, so the Champions League.
Oh.
And he's listening to us, and he's working. So we got a
easy job, but he's got by the sound of it, old Steve-O.
Mate, he's got a brain the size of a planet. He's got a brain, and he's got his original 70s Man City kit. Like, he doesn't fit in it anymore. But he Colin definitely
can I tell a story? Can I tell a story about a personal story with Man City and me? Son was a great City player, right?
Yeah.
When he finished his career, he done made the measures shirts. He came down from Manchester, when all the London firms where I worked, all the different firms. And one guy knew him. He said, I've got Mike Summerby coming down. He's going to do shirts. Who fancies a cut? Oh, well, I fancy one. It's in the good old days, right? Good old days. Anyway, so we're all queuing up. I go into the room. He's like, right, lad, what do you want? I said, right, puts it around my neck, my chest. And he says, what do you want? I said, I'm like this with my arms out. I said, I want a red one with white sleeves. He says, you can F right off.
Did he?
And he didn't say it. Didn't say a fever.
Wow. Brilliant. Right. That's a great story. That is brilliant. Anyway, that's slightly off topic, but very...
Sorry.
Very
sorry. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that was really good. John's in the chat as well. He says, hello to everyone. And to you, Richard, just tuned in. No, good to see you, my friend. Hope you're doing well. And Steve, obviously, Steve's mate, Steve, says, if you're going to make a change, I would put Zinchenko in, because he knows the City back four, potentially where to go. Well, he's been in already, so that's not really a change, is it? Because he's been
in where?
For the last 25 games. So
maybe
that's not a change,
him up
is it?
A little bit. No.
I wonder if he's going to have a fight with Kyle Walker at the end of the game again, like they did the other week. That was quite funny, wasn't it? I don't know what was going on there. Was that real? I don't know what was going on there.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway. It looked a bit...
It looks a bit strange, isn't it? Anyway, John says there seems to be a lethargic look as how we're playing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There is at this moment in time. It's just not quite happening, is it? Mark C says again, nailed on, Mikel will start the same 11 tomorrow. He wants them to play their way out of the rut that they played themselves into. Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the same starting 11. I've got to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'm hoping there's going to be some changes.
I'm hoping he's going to break. I'm praying he's going to break and just go for the Trossard in from the start. And
John says, is anyone...
Describe it. Lazy management if he plays the same team again.
I think so. Melvin.
He wants to show him love, doesn't he? Like he said against Everton, he loves them more now they're losing. John says, is anyone wondering why Tierney is not being picked to play? Yeah, totally. Why he's not been, because we said earlier on, you know, he could have probably done a decent job against Brentford defensively, certainly, because he's a really good defender, isn't he?
He is. Very unlucky not to be in the team.
You're right, Lee.
What's that, mate?
Are you all right, Lee? With the time? I'm all right.
Oh, God, no. I've got 5 minutes. She's got 5 minutes. I'm all right. I've got 5 minutes. I have to get married first.
Oh, fair enough.
We've only been together. It's only been 15 years, Melvin. No rush.
Loki says, if Brentford were called Man U, we'd be happy with that draw. Yeah, I'm sure we would have been. And we should be happy with sort of happy with a draw the way that we played. A draw was what we kind of should have got out of the game, I suppose. So, you know, it's Mark C says it's either offside or it ain't end on. Well, yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, but sometimes
we wish it was that simple.
It's not always quite that straightforward, is it? Unfortunately,
no, it should be.
Loki says we should get ex PMs to do VAR because there's plenty. Well, no, there is plenty here, but are they going to get it right? Probably not, judging by.
Is that ex prime ministers? Like Boris
Johnson?
Yeah, ex prime ministers. Yeah,
just Boris on the David side. Cameron at the VAR studio right now, or Harold
Theresa
Wilson.
May. Theresa May.
Theresa May's doing it, or Liz Truss. Yeah, Liz Truss is now one.
Can you imagine? There won't be any worse than the ones we've got in a minute. So, you know, we'll see how that was to go. But anyway, that's quite hilarious, isn't it? Neil's in the chat there. He says he's under the weather, unfortunately, but hopefully he'll be better. Yeah, get better soon, Neil. I know how you feel, mate. I've just got over some sort of terrible virus that's not very nice. But yeah, so I hope you feel better soon. So Steve again's in the chat. He says, if you're trying to get out of a rut, then playing the same 11 for the seventh straight game is a puzzling approach. I totally agree with you. Steve, I like Steve. He's a Man City fan, but I like him. He talks sense. He's a good guy.
Yeah. He does talk sense. Yeah, exactly.
He talks more sense than most Arsenal fans on Twitter, who are quite happy to play the same 11 every week.
Keep going. Have faith in it. Have faith in Eddie. We will play Eddie.
Yeah, play Eddie every week. Because if we play him in 10 games, he might score a goal eventually, because he does eventually score one. So that's all right. And Steve says he's multitasking. Yeah, of course it is. Multitasking is the way forward. And it seems like you're doing a cracking job. And Steve says it was actually the mid-80s when he was introduced to City. Well, there you go. He's a little bit
I thought he looked a bit young for the 70s, to be fair.
Let me just say with Steve, actually, it's an interesting one. He's done his genealogy, as most Americans do, to claim allegiance to the UK. But apparently he's actually related to a Welsh king. So we now have royalty, my friend, on the podcast right now.
Really? Wow.
Wow. Yeah. We bow down to Steve then, and he said his mistake. He thought Zinchenko being on the bench. Well, there you go. You see, that's what being a City fan does to you. You see. but anyway, Steve said he came off the bench in the FA Cup. No, he did. I think he might have come off the bench in the FA Cup game. Yeah, but that was kind of. We made a few changes in that game.
That didn't count. That's an anomaly. That was an anomaly of that game, Rich, wasn't it, really?
We're talking about the Prem, aren't we? Yeah, exactly. That's not going to happen tomorrow. But, I mean, talking of tomorrow, we may as well talk about tomorrow. I mean, I agree with what Steve said before. Nothing's decided tomorrow. It's a big game. It's an important game. And whoever wins it is going to be in a very good frame of mind, I'm sure, going into the rest of the season. But there's so many games left to play either side that it's not the end of the world either way. I think we're going to play the same starting 11 again. I really do. And I'm worried about that. I'm worried about this game anyway, because, you know, I think that because of everything that's happened with Man City, with their charge that's just happened, you saw against Aston Villa, they're bang up for it. You remember when we got them 2 points taken off us in 1990? We beat Southampton 4-0, we beat QPR 3-1, we played Liverpool at Ivory.
Won the league by 7 points.
3-0. Yeah, so I just think that the timing of this now, Man City are so angry that what's happened, the way that they feel they've been treated, rightly or wrongly, will all come out in the course of time. Yeah. But I think it's a bad time because they are not going to lose this game. I can't see them losing this game. I honestly can't. Mm. And, you know, we're at a slightly poor run of form, a little bit for us.
Yeah.
They're bang up for it because they're going to want to shove this down the Premier League's throat. So I'm worried about this game. I'm worried about the whole circumstances of it. I mean, Melvin, what are you thinking about tomorrow? Because it isn't the end of the world if we did lose, but it does send out a message, doesn't it? That, you know, from City saying we are the champions and we are not going to give this crown up without a big fight.
It makes a difference, but not an enormous difference as far as points go. It's just, as you say, the message and the momentum and the belief. A couple of weeks ago, we had belief. We've still got a kind of belief, but the team had this belief and it was like nothing could stop us. All of a sudden, we've hit a couple of brick walls. Not the end of the world, but And if we cannot beat City by hook or by crook, last year, we should have beaten them at home and we got robbed. Mm-hmm. We've had best football for years against City and we got robbed. And it was like, well, are the gods trying to tell us something? Are we not allowed to beat this team, even when we're much better than the other day? And other games have played against us, even at the Emirates, and within 10 minutes, the game's over, you see. And I don't want that mindset. We've got to show that we are a different team now. Then we have definitely closed the gap. I don't mean points-wise, because we're ahead of them, but I'm saying we're actually at a place now I'd never thought we'd be at this stage in the process. I thought we'd be miles behind them. I used to watch them play and go, well, another 5 or 10 years is going to take us to get near them, if we're lucky. Now, we're on par. And I don't think if we beat them, don't think we're going to win the league. It gives us a fantastic chance. All of a sudden, momentum goes again. If we get beat, it won't mean we're going to lose the league because of points, but I think it might destroy a few minds. That's what worries me.
Psychologically,
such a big game. Yeah. I mean, we've all been to big games and thinking it's a big game, but really, this is big. Open brackets, close brackets, big.
Yeah.
Because it's like everything. It's like a cup final of leagues. This is like the Liverpool, to a degree. And that's not the last game. When we played Liverpool win the league in 89, that was a defining one. This is not so defining, but it's close as far as stature goes, as far as laying, putting something down, saying, right, this is a marker down. This is where we are now, boys. We can beat you. We're totally you in the league. We're not frightening you anymore. So it's such an important game. I know I don't want it to be that we like a powder puff. There's been so many in the last few seasons. We played Liverpool in the League Cup in the semi-final. Powder puff performance. We've played the first team in the Europa Cup when we should have beaten it. We had a powder puff performance. We bottled it. I don't want to see us bottom. If we go out tomorrow, have a go, and we get beat because something happens, it's the post and goes in, it's the post and goes, or whatever, I won't like it, but I can live with it. If we go out and mentally get beaten, I'll be destroyed.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's probably more important in a way, isn't it? The mental side of how we approach that game. Because we've played these big games in the past and we maybe haven't really turned up and gave a good performance, a good account of ourselves, and we've tended to get the wrong result. And we need to show this season. We've done it in previous games this season. We've rose to the occasion plenty of times up till now, but suddenly now the pressure's a little bit more, isn't it? The pressure's greater now. This game's got a lot of pressure on it. I agree. It's not the league decider. It isn't anything like that. But there is a lot of pressure on us because of the last few results. And we need to overcome that. And we need to overcome a team that are fired up. There's no doubt Man City are fired up at this moment in time because of what's gone on. Loki's pretty confident, though. He's going 2-1 to Arsenal. So there you go. Loki's feeling pretty good. Steve's gone for a 1-1 draw. Terry is not very confident at all. He's gone 4-1 to City.
Terry, behave.
Go, guys.
Lead off. He's got his orders to go to dinner. That's fair enough. He's got.
It's Valentine's Day, mate.
You've got to get your priorities right.
He's going to sign an Italian for us, apparently.
perhaps. Loki says, got to be done. Well, it's got to be done, but we'll see. Neil says, nice one, Loki. And then he's having a bit of an angry meltdown. Terry there. So Terry's changed it to 5-1. No. Mark says, Terry, wash your mouth out, indeed. Terry says, Neil, I'm not the same person when you're not here. Well, no, exactly. I don't think any of us are we? Let's be honest. So Loki says, City look capable of a shocker this season. Well, yeah, they do, but I don't know. Terry says, sorry, everyone. I just feel if you don't drop Eddie, we don't win. Yeah, I mean, that's a fairly strong point. Steve says, sometimes I think I have more belief in this Arsenal side than you Gooners do. Yeah, but you see, Steve, one of the reasons for that is because it means so much to us that it's difficult to look at it logically. when it's your own team, you can't look at it logically, can you? Because you're too emotionally attached to it. So you'll think with your emotions as opposed to your brain. And that obviously is never a good thing, is it? And that's probably why you probably do have more belief than us, because you're outside looking in. I've probably got more belief in Man City than you have, because I look at Man City and think they're going to win every single game because we're not so attached to them. Anyway, I mean, I don't agree with Terry, actually. I don't think... we will certainly not lose 5-1. I mean, Melvin, give your score prediction then, because you just sort of mentioned the game. What are you going to go with for tomorrow?
1-1.
1-0, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by that either, actually. That does seem fairly sensible prediction. I mean, Steve, what are you thinking for tomorrow then? Are there going to be team changes? Are we going to be up for it? Are we going to win? Or is it going to be the same old story when it comes down to the big games? We're just not quite there yet still.
So I think there's three or four scenarios at playing out here. Are we going to win? I'm going to have to say no. And I think it's either going to be a 1-0 or a 2-1 to City. Right? And that's how I'm feeling right now. That's purely because the quality of the team, the capabilities, and the way that we're playing right now. The thing that worries me the most about this whole game, and I will be there, So the thing that worries me about this game is the mindset that we're in. The one thing I want to see, and it goes back to why I said, I think this is, you know, Steve and I, by the way, Steve and I had about an hour's conversation about this game before we came on. But one of the things I think psychologically for this team, if we were to, all joking aside with Terry, we got a 5-1 trouncing, right? I think genuinely destroy the whole team and the morale. Everything that goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would. Oh, yeah.
I think if we played, we go back to Melbourne's concept, you know, on that New Year's Day, if we go back and play the way that we played then, I think the City team are going to have a real issue. I still think there's something about them that they're just a little bit more. They've just got a little bit more to it. Are we a ways down our journey? I think we're a year ahead of where we all expected as fans. Sorry, the realistic fans sitting there. So my view is, Man City will probably win. Okay, I'd love to see us get away with a draw. If we came out of a draw, I don't think that'd be too bad. But what we need to have is a performance that sets the bar in the same way that we were at the beginning of the season. Right? And we've got to come out there and we've got to show them that this is our house. And a lot of it is down to the fans as well. So from a fan's perspective, we cannot be on the back of the team. We've got to be supporting that team. We've got to be driving it. And we've got to show them the hostility that anybody that turns up to our house, you know, wanting to be. That's what we've got to do. So there's two or three things. Do I think we'll win? No. Do I think it's important that we actually do a proper showing and actually come out all guns blazing 100%? Do I think we need the fans behind us 100%? I think if we go down to a big loss to Man City, I think that will absolutely destroy the morale in this team. And do we think Eddie Nketiah or do we think he needs to rotate 100%? He has to rotate. If he does not rotate this team, we are definitely going to lose. I've got no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. We have to make changes, but I'm not convinced that we will, unfortunately. Or if we do it, it might only be one. Arteta's just not, he's not a gambling man, is he? He doesn't take risks. He's not going to change three or four players. He might change one, and that may well be Martinelli for Trossard would seem the most likely, because it's a like-for-like change, isn't it? It's not really changing too much. That would be my guess. But anyway, I mean, I kind of tend to agree. I would be not shocked if we win, but I do think it would. I'm not expecting us to win either. I don't expect us to win tomorrow. I think that Man City, I say, I'd be well up for this game. We're not at this great moment, are we, as things stand? And if he does make some changes don't always necessarily work straight away, do they? That's the other thing when you change players in the team. So I don't know. I just think that at the moment, it's not an ideal time to be playing them. And I'm not happy that we are playing them tomorrow, and I don't think we'll win either. But I can't predict we're going to lose. I just can't predict a loss. So I'm going to go with Melvin's 1-1, and I think we'll take a 1-1 and be reasonably happy with it this time, perhaps, you know, if that's how it goes. But, I mean, I think we can beat them. I'm just not sure that at this time right now we're in that right place to be able to beat them. That's my worry. So,
I agree.
But I don't mind a draw. I'll take a draw. James is in the chat room. I fell up you well. He says, God, it's Valentine's Day. You've all lost your bloody passion. He's got Arsenal 2, Man City 1 coming to Arsenal. Well, no, I mean, that may well be the score, and we'll be delighted if it is. But at this moment in time, I'm finding it hard to believe that is how it will finish. Neil says, I've changed my mind. It seems we are suddenly underdogs. When we've been challenging for anything, I feel our best has come out as underdogs. So 3-2. Wow, he's changed his mind to a 3-2. Mark C says, Rich, that's the only change I can see. Yeah, I think so. And it's a like-for-like change, isn't it? One, you know, very similar kind of, I know maybe they've got different kind of aspects to their game, but it's a very similar sort of player, isn't it, really? Loki says, Arteta will have a number one player and change the team. I look forward to that. Actually, that'd be more exciting in the game, wouldn't it, if he did that to his head? That'd be brilliant. Steve says, yeah, smart men on the top. Well, of course, you know, a smart man always on the top, Steve. That's how it works. but yeah, we won't mention that. Neil says, tomorrow will be the start of a 10-game unbeaten run en route to the title. Well, it may well be. It may well be, but we shall see. And Neil said we're going to win the league right from the start. So, you know, he's not going to change his mind now, is he? So that's fair play to Neil.
Fairness to Neil.
At this moment in time, I must admit, I'm not really feeling it at this moment about tomorrow. I'm not confident that we can win, put it that way, as things stand. But as Neil rightly says, sometimes when we're maybe the underdogs is when we rise to the occasion, and maybe that might be what happens tomorrow. But I am going to go for a 1-1 draw anyway, as with Melvin. Phil's in the chat again. Phil, good to see you. He says, at our best, we'd beat them, but we need to turn up. I worry that we've been sussed out a bit. Love it if we nicked it 2-1. Yeah, I mean, we'd all love it if we nicked it 2-1. I'm just not as confident as maybe Neil is and Loki is, maybe that we will win it. Loki says 11 wins and 2 draws for the title. Yeah, probably. It wouldn't be far off, would it, if that was the results that we get? But have we got 11 wins and 2 draws in us? We'll have to see. Terry says, I think we've been falling apart since losing to City in the Cup, all been downhill ever since. Well, I mean, we've only played 2 games since, to be fair. So it's not exactly a big range of games, is there, to look at? But obviously, we've not done too well since then. I agree. Oh, go on, Melvin.
I think we might have more of a chance now. I just saw something out. I'm going to Stockley Park tomorrow about 2:00. And it is my rule, and it is my pencil. So I'm going to leave them that. And we might have more of a chance.
We are sorted tomorrow. So, you know, Mark C was saying, when was the last time we got a penalty? We're getting penalties tomorrow all day long. We're getting penalties. We're getting offside goals. They're given for us. Everything. It's going to be...
Lines are going to be drawn all over the place.
Richard, we don't get penalties. We get fines.
Yeah,
that's the only penalties we get.
Caught enjoying ourselves.
Yeah, that's no good, is it? You can't be doing stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're looking too confident for tomorrow, but who knows? As Phil said, we're certainly capable of beating anyone on our day if we turn out and play, but we'll have to turn out and play, won't we? And the last 2 or 3 games haven't suggested that that's likely to happen, but who knows? Maybe we do a good performance. Of course, it's a busy week because there's another game on Saturday. And again, it's the crappy early kickoff on a Saturday lunchtime, which nobody enjoys. I don't know why they insist on putting games in. That's not the time to play football at 12:30 on a Saturday. That's the time to be having lunch in the pub, having a drink, and having your lunch. It isn't the time to be watching football. It's not. So don't do that again. But it is going to be a potentially tricky game against our old friend, of course. I mean, you've got to love a bit of Unai Emery, haven't you? You know, after the magnificent job he did for us. And he's not done too bad at Villa. But, of course, this is the kind of second time that we've met him because he was, of course, Villarreal's manager in the Europa League semi-final a few years back. And, of course, they won that game over 2 legs. So we need to find a way to reverse that result. They've not done too well in the last 2 games, Villa, but I'm sure Unai Emery is going to want to prove a point, isn't he? Coming back to, it'd be the first time, obviously, he's played Arsenal in the Premier League since he left. So I'm slightly concerned about this game as well, if I'm honest. And I do think a lot of this game is going to depend on what happens tomorrow. If we've got that big beating that we've spoken about, then I would worry going to Villa could be a real difficult game. If we played well tomorrow, regardless of the result, then I'd be a lot more confident going to Villa to get something. But I do feel as though the whole aspect of the Villa game is all on tomorrow night and what happens tomorrow night to take forward into the Villa game. I mean, Melvin, do you think that's probably going to be true? It's difficult to say too much about the Villa game at this moment without seeing tomorrow's game, is it, to know what impact that is going to have, positive or negative, depending on how it goes?
Yeah, dead right. I mean, if we win tomorrow night, I think our fancy's big time. Oh, by the way, we're seeing two old friends on Saturday, the goalkeeper as well, don't forget.
Of course, yeah. The goalkeeper, of course, don't forget him.
It's such a big bearing. Tomorrow night's game is such a big bearing on the next 6-7 games for us. It really does. You know, we saw last, I'm not saying it will happen, but last season, we had a few injuries, I know, as well, which we haven't got, thank God, this time. But the wheels fell off at the end of the season. And then we were a year younger then, I know, and we got a slightly different personnel. But at the same time, you don't want that happening. I don't even want to talk. This reminds me of, like, I'm having dinner and my wife asks me what I want tomorrow for dinner. I'm going, no, I can't think. I've got to have this first. Then I know. Yeah, I can't think of food. I'm eating this. Let me have that. Let me settle down. Let me see how the land lies. And I'll let you know, if what I fancy or what we fancy or whatever. I just can't do it. I can't put two games together like this because it's so important, that City game. I can't think of the next game after that. I just can't do it. I've got no idea of making a prediction or anything. It's like a tossing a coin for me. But it won't be after the game tomorrow night. At the moment, it's tossing a coin. But after tomorrow night, then it's not. That's when I can probably have half an idea what I might think. I can't think of anything at the moment. Can't think of it.
No, I kind of agree. Because I just feel as though everything about that Villa game is going to depend on tomorrow night. Yeah. So it's almost impossible to know what to expect from that game, other than the fact it's an early kickoff, which is never good. And it's going sort of halfway up north, not quite as far up north as we've suffered on a Saturday lunchtime before. But yeah, the omens aren't great on that side of things. But anyway, Phil says there, who knows what the Clowns and VAR have in store for us? Well, who knows? And we can't really worry too much about them, can we? Because whatever they do, they'll do. Steve says at least it isn't 6:30 a.m. for you over there. No, that's true. Actually, it isn't 6:30. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to watch football at 6:30 in the morning. But anyway,
oh, mate, it's the best. It's the best. That's when you have your chicken biscuits and gravy in shots. So we were doing it while we was out there in Texas. Trust me, Steve. Stop moaning. Just man up. Man up and watch the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stop moaning, indeed. Yeah. you know, come and live in England if you want normal kickoff times. You know what I mean? Don't moan about being in America.
Loki's gone. Anyway, Loki, I don't want to talk about that. I'm going to be a nice ground. That's, I think, one of the first grounds I went to outside London. I thought it was magnificent, that place. My first time there was 1971. We had a replay against Stoke in the semi-final of the FA Cup. My uncle took me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, what a, like a red brick bit of it. You know the red brick?
I still think Villa Park is the best ground in the Premier League. I think it's the best ground. I really do. Historically, you know, yes, it's changed over the years. It's not the same as it used to be. We had the whole end, the big terracing and all that kind of stuff. And it has changed, but I still think it's my favourite ground in the Premier League, Aston Villa, by an absolute mile. You know, obviously apart from Arsenal's ground, you know, the Emirates, of course, but the best away ground. Absolutely, 100%. I love Villa Park. It is a magnificent stadium. It's a great place to watch football. And it's been a decent enough ground for us over the years. I know recently we've lost a couple of times, but we've generally got a pretty good record there. But it is a fantastic stadium, I agree. And it's normally a good away game to go to, isn't it? So let's hope it's going to be a good one. But anyway, Neil says, I have no gripe against Unai, and regardless of what happens tomorrow, we'll win that 3-0. Wow, okay. I don't think you can say regardless of what happens tomorrow, because I do think what happens tomorrow is going to absolutely dictate what happens on Saturday, 100%. But we'll see. And Neil says, bring us back the points, please. Yeah, let's hope he's going to be a lucky omen for us. Mark C says, even if we draw 1-1 v City, the performance is more important than the result. If we show up and put in a proper performance, it should lift our levels back to where we want. Yeah, I think we all agree with that. In a way, the performance tomorrow is more, almost more important, not quite more important than a result, but it's almost up there, isn't it? Because I agree, if we put in a really strong performance, that gives us confidence then, doesn't it? And that might lift us again for the next game. And that's why I say I think tomorrow is so important for Villa, because that will, if we go to Villa confident, having played well against City, I think we'll tear Villa apart and I think we'll win that game comfortably. I agree with Neil. But if tomorrow doesn't go too well, then I would worry that Villa would be a disaster or potentially a disaster.
I see it a different way though, Rich. I see it a different way. So look, tomorrow we've talked about this over and over again. It's like, you know, as I put in the chat, it's a Jedi Master and the Apprentice kind of coming together and going into it. But I genuinely believe Unai Emery and Arteta, there's a bit of beef there. Like, we all turn around and say, oh, it's Unai Emery and it's Arsenal going back. Actually, it's Arteta who took his job, right? And that was the guy, yeah, that we went for in the first place. I think there's a lot more from the Arteta perspective to actually go in there and absolutely nail him. Like, to absolutely show why he was taken on as the boss over him. And I think it's more actually from Arteta perspective. I'm not saying tomorrow is not important. It absolutely is. But no matter what happens, you know, no matter what happens, and I would love to be going. Don't trust me. I've desperately tried to get some tickets, but I can't. But I genuinely believe that Arteta has a massive point to prove with this guy to finally put him right back in his box where he deserves to be, you know, and show that why Arteta is a better player. So there's two massive psychological games that we've got. The Man City game tomorrow that sets the trend for the rest of the season. But there's this whole piece where Arteta is going to go there. If you were to put yourself in Arteta's shoes, you sit there and say, do you know what? They fired this guy and took me on for this. And I'm going to prove to that guy once and for all exactly why I am better than him and doing my job with my team. We're going to batter him. So my view of it is, no matter how it goes tomorrow, and yes, it will have a psychological effect, right? No matter how it goes tomorrow, there is that grudge piece. And I believe Arteta is going to be on those boys so hard for these next two games, it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable on there. So from the Twitter army that are all talking about this BS that goes on. For me, if I was in Arteta's shoes, it would be like, I'm going to bury Guardiola and I am going to absolutely bury, you know, Unai Emery underneath the body of Guardiola when I was in. That'd be my mindset. Because like that is like, you know, after I've sacrificed Mo Elneny,
is that the Jeffrey Dahmer approach to football management?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Like, I think it's absolutely, that serial killer kind of concept is what we should bring as a management mindset to it. You know, but, you know, so poor Mo is going to get sacrificed on the halfway line tomorrow night. Love the guy, but you know, and we put a year extension on him, so he's kind of ours for another year. Sacrifice him, eviscerate him at the halfway line, set that straight. Then go in and bury Guardiola, but bury Emery even deeper than that. So I just think from a management perspective, if I'm in Arteta's shoes, I'm thinking, no, man, I'm knuckle dusting that guy. I'm absolutely going to go to the north. Oh, well, it's not even the north, is it? It's in the middle. Like, you know,
Midlands.
It's the Midlands. It's not the north. It's not the south. We don't even know where it's
north of London. That's about all we know. That's as far as
we're in North London. There is only one team in North London. That's it, right? That's it. So let's not even go to that. They're in that Midlands bit. Yeah, they're the sort of, you know, the filler in the sandwich, as I've heard people say. You know, the brown smelly filler in the sandwich. So I would want to, if I was Arteta, I would want to absolutely go in there and bury Unai Emery and remind him why Arsenal are a bigger club than Aston Villa, no disrespect to Villa, but bury him and let him know exactly why he's one of the better managers. End of story. Again, based on, hopefully he's not too sort of depressed over tomorrow.
Yeah, but you see, what's important, isn't it? When you're looking at it from the football perspective, it's important to take your own personal feelings away, is it? So Arteta can't go there thinking, I want to beat Pep and I want to beat Unai. He's got to think, I want our team to beat Manchester City and I want our team to beat Aston Villa, because that's what it's about. It's not about whether or not he wants to prove a point to Pep or prove a point to Unai or prove a point to anybody. What's more important is that the players are, and he's focused on the actual games that we play and not the managers that he's facing. Yes, Unai Emery and him maybe do have some sort of thing because of the situation. I kind of we saw that a little bit in the semi-final, didn't we, in the Europa League the other year. But I don't know. It's so important that we just focus on what we've got to focus on, which is the game, not the manager or whatever it is. That's if Arteta feels like that, that's great. But he can't, you know. We saw too much in that documentary to suggest that sometimes he brings his own kind of feelings in onto the team, and he can't do that because that's negative impact, I think, on what we've got to be focusing on personally. But anyway, let's see what happens.
Rich, you know. Listen, any manager that manages the team, it doesn't matter whether you work in whatever field you work in, the team reflect you as the manager, right, and your mindset. And if you go to that team, like literally, I want you to, you know, I want you to absolutely tear them a new one and go at them so hard. It's like, listen, if anyone's got access to Arteta, let me go do the team talk, because tomorrow I'm going to do the team talk. I mean, beard up, all the boys, well, the over and over again boys are going to be out en masse, actually. But I would be saying, like, guys, you're doing this for me, you're doing it for you, the whole lot. We just got to go in and tear them a new one. And it's the same with Unai Emery, honestly, right? And, you know, we've got to absolutely humiliate them. But it's every single team. Like, you know, Everton's a great example. Arteta's never won against Everton. Like, why? Why is that? You know, why did he not beat Fat Frank and the others?
What worries me about that, you say that, and he's not beating Everton away. We beat him at home, but he's not beat him away. But it's funny, isn't it? Because do you remember, was it a couple of weeks ago? I remember Pep saying about Arteta, saying that whenever Man City played Arsenal, when he was at Man City, whenever Man City scored against Arsenal, Arteta never celebrated. And don't forget, he played for Everton a lot longer than he played for Arsenal. So maybe he likes Everton. He doesn't mind gifting them points because he's quite, you know, he kind of likes them because, you know, like he likes Arsenal, but I don't know. But anyway, I don't think that's really...
What am I listening to here?
I don't know.
He didn't celebrate goals against Arsenal when he was assistant at Man City. That's
I've got news for you. If we would have scored against Everton the other week, he would have been cheering, all right?
Oh, he would have been cheering. I'm sure he would have been.
Rich is going soft. Melvin, I think Rich is going soft, mate. It's Valentine's Day. He's got loves in the air, my friend. Loves in the air. That's what it is. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Terry is feeling a lot of love at the minute. He says, do you think Arteta will play some forwards against Unai this time? Because he didn't last time, did he?
Because
it'll
be Tomiyasu up front. That's what it'll be.
Yeah, probably will be, yeah. And Terry says, I agree with every word you said, Steve-O, but Arteta didn't look too positive in his interview today. That worries me big time. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say he didn't look positive. I didn't make a lot of sense of what he said, actually.
Just playing games.
Steve says, are you suggesting an attacking tactical approach tomorrow based on this burying Guardiola bit or just speaking mentally?
I'd say we should bury him anyway. Like, bury Guardiola, gets buried, like, you know, with just a big hole. Everybody thinking, what the hell's going on there? Throw Guardiola in and bury him in that hole. Like, bury Unai Emery, bury Man City, bury everybody, bury FC. Let's bury them as well.
Yeah, okay.
I'll have too many M&Ms and wine tonight.
I think so, yeah. Mark C says, we need the crowd to be amped up tomorrow and Mikel Arteta to give a rousing pre-match talk. Well, yeah, of course we do. I'm sure he will, but we shall see. Loki says, the old main stand, obviously, at Villa Park is beautiful. It is, yeah, that's that brick one, isn't it? Brilliant. Yeah, what a fantastic stand that is. It just looks incredible. It is the best, one of the best, it is the best ground in the Premier League. Loki says, in Birmingham, cup of tea is pronounced kip a tie. Yeah, they pronounce everything a bit strange in Birmingham, so that's just the way it is, isn't it? But, you know, fair play to him for trying at least. Loki says, I don't think Eddie will do a Woodcock or Ted Drake at Villa Park for sure. No, I don't think he will. I definitely don't think he will. But anyway, maybe Trossard might. Who knows? He might get 4 or 5 goals, mightn't he? Steve says, I suggest Arsenal go with a 3-2-5 and really try to bury City. Yeah, I mean, that's a good suggestion. I'm sure Mikel Arteta will change his tactics completely for that one game because he tends to like changing things.
He does that all the time.
Yeah, he does it all the time, yeah. I know, obviously, Melvin didn't want to give a prediction for Villa, and I understand why, because we won't really know until tomorrow. Steve, are you prepared to give a prediction for Villa?
Think we'll go in there and we'll win. I think 2-0. I think we'll do 2-0. I think it'll be a convincing win against them. I haven't been particularly good over the last couple of games, but genuinely, subject to us playing well tomorrow, irrelevant as how it turns out, as long as we play well and got fire in our bellies, we go to Aston Villa. I think a 2-0 win, subject to the mindset being absolutely spot on, ready to go for it, mate.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, I think if we haven't won tomorrow or if we lose tomorrow, there's so much pressure going into that Villa game, real, because we won't be top, will we? Man City will be top if we lose tomorrow. Yeah. And that'll be the first time we haven't been top since, I can't remember last time we wasn't top. That's how long ago it was. It was last year sometime. You know, it was when the sun was out and everything. So, you know, it's how we deal with that, not being top, the pressure of four games without a win, all that kind of stuff, would affect our mindset going to Villa. It will. Whereas if we win tomorrow, we've increased our lead at the top, and then suddenly we get a Villa full of confidence, and then I think we'll win. So, yeah, it's difficult to predict, but we should win. Loki's gone 3-1 v Villa. Yeah, I mean, let's hope so, but I do think tomorrow is going to influence that quite heavily. We'll see. I mean, it shouldn't do. You've got one game, it's finished. You look at the next one and you start again, and hopefully you can go, it's 0-0 at the start and start again, but it doesn't work like that, does it? It's very... sport is very mental as much as physical, isn't it? And the mindset's got to be right. And unfortunately, if tomorrow doesn't go well, I do fear for Villa. Terry says, I've got the Neil effect back. He's going 3-0. Oh, well, OK. So Terry thinks we're going to lose 5-1 to Man City and then go to Villa and win 3-0. I don't know. I mean, that would be quite an incredible series of results, wouldn't it? But I'm not quite sure either those two things are going to happen if I'm trying to lose. I actually think, yeah, if we draw tomorrow, I think we'll probably go to Villa and win maybe 2-1, sneak it. I think it's going to be a tight, tough game. Villa are playing pretty well overall. And yeah, I don't know, we'll see. But anyway, let's see what happens. Tomorrow's the most important one first, isn't it? Let's get that out of the way. Let's enjoy that game. And it is going to be a very tense night, and it's going to be dramatic, I'm sure, and it's going to be good. But let's hope we can get the result and the performance that we need. And then hopefully we can put these last couple of games behind us and move forward and look to the rest of the season in a lot more positive frame of mind. But yeah, it is a big game tomorrow. And it is important that we put in a performance. Loki says, there, come on, chap, show some well-intended delusion. Up the Gunners. Now we can show plenty of delusion. That's fair enough, isn't it, I suppose? So we'll win both games 3-0, there you go. That would be good, wouldn't it? But we've not beat Man City at home since 2015. December 2015 was the last time we beat them at home. So it's a long time. It's about time. But my first ever game actually was Man City at home, which was a long time ago, 1981. We did win that one, 1-0, but Man City wasn't quite as good then. But anyway.
Rich, just a quick one, mate. Just a quick one, right? So, yeah, go on. When we beat Liverpool at home, how did that make you feel, mate? How did that make you feel?
Oh, right. It was good. It was brilliant, yeah.
Should we sneak it tomorrow? Like, should we sneak it tomorrow? I know Steve's listening. Should we sneak it tomorrow? How good would that feel? How good would that feel for the fans, for us, and everybody else? And what is obvious? Let's looking at everybody, like looking at all the comments, looking at what we're saying. Me with my M&M's, sugar burst, and ready to sacrifice people. But actually, how brilliant is it just to be a fan and be on this roller coaster that is the Premier League and everything that goes with it? Again, if we were to sneak that win tomorrow and or you know, convincingly win the same way that we did with Liverpool, and we haven't done that for a very, very long time, I think it just sets us up for something quite amazing as we start to go through this whole period. And you know, and I think that to me is the best part of being a fan, especially for Arsenal Football Club, is because we can actually sit here and go, yeah, if we just manage to win there, and it's like this one that's coming up and everything else goes with it. So I think actually we need to, I think as fans, we're a lot harder on the team and everybody else than probably the team are on themselves. They're like, screw it, we lost, you know, let's go. We've got Man City. We're going to absolutely go at them. So I'm hoping that's the case. I hope that's the case for us, is that tomorrow it's going to be a better game. And then Unai gets buried in an unmarked grave. Let's put it out there.
The thing is, though, it's been such a long time since we've actually been in a serious, proper title race,
yes,
hasn't it? In the real, like, tough bit of the season, you know, March and April and all that kind of stuff, when we're in that heat of a title race. It's been such a long time that I think all of us are going to, I don't know, it's going to be strange, isn't it, to experience that again, that feeling of every single game is so important. And knowing that every single point that you win and every single point that you lose is so important, and that extra tension that brings to us as fans. Imagine what it's like for the players and the management team and everybody else. It's, you know, we've not experienced it for such a long time. And I want to, you know, whether we win the league or whether we don't win the league this season, I want to at least start to experience this more regularly again, that the feeling of being in the title race, like we used to do every year, didn't we? We had 10 years in a row, we were in a title race back in the day. And, you know, I want to keep experiencing that again. And it's going to be weird this season because it's been so long. And the way that's going to happen is we get a good result tomorrow. And then, you know, if we lose tomorrow, then suddenly it could be 2 or 3 weeks' time. The title race is almost, we're out of it, aren't we? Could feel like that. So I don't want that. I want it to keep going on to at least April and into May and stuff and really get excited and feel that adrenaline every single game again. So important.
Down to that last game. I want to be like those Man City fans waiting for that goal to be scored.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's finished like that, wouldn't it? Like Man City had last year, and they had to win their last game, and they were 2-0 down, and they came back and won 3-2. And you know, yes, it's not Anfield 89 or anything like that, but you know, something like that would be great to experience. But just being in the title race with a week to go, 2 weeks to go, knowing how important it is, I want to feel that excitement again. I want to feel that adrenaline. I really do, and I'm hoping that tomorrow is the first step towards getting to that point, because winning tomorrow would be such a big, massive step, wouldn't it? And take us. Put us in such a strong position. Steve's made a good point there. He says maybe hold the match at the Hotspur Stadium because City can't score there. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, was it 4 or 5 years in a row, is it, have not scored away at Tottenham? It's incredible, that, isn't it? I mean, who else in the world has got such a bad record against Tottenham? Nobody, because Tottenham are terrible. Everybody beats them. How can City lose there 4 or 5 years without even scoring? That's ridiculous. That makes no sense. It's one of those weird football stats that just does not make any sense, does it? How does that happen?
Yeah, they've got a good record. They got a good record at the Etihad as well, haven't they, Spurs?
Yeah, they have. I know. They've got a good record there.
Not only in the league, the European and the Championship.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. I genuinely don't understand it. They're awful. No. This is an awful, awful team. But, you know, listen, Conte, and God forbid, you know, Conte's gone off ill, and we wish him all the best. And honestly, I hope he's getting better. And they go on a really great run. Conte comes back, and they're awful again. They're absolutely terrible. What's going on?
That did seem a bit strange, didn't it? They played well when he wasn't there, and then suddenly they get absolutely tonked at Leicester when he's back. But anyway, that is one record. I'll never, ever understand that, you know, how can Man City keep losing? That's fixture every single year. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, Terry says, enjoy tonight, chats. Many thanks, Richard, Magic and Steve-O and all in the chat. Don't forget Lee as well, who was in earlier. Aloki says, thumbs up, peeps. Cheers, guys. Give us a thumbs up as well before you go. Terry's there saying, nights and Neil, get well soon. Indeed, get well soon, Neil. Loki says, we're top of the table again. Enjoy. Yeah, we are. We're top of the table at the moment. Indeed, we're going to enjoy it, certainly until tomorrow at least. And we'll see what happens after that. Neil says, really enjoyed it, chat. Speaking, cheers, mate. Hopefully you'll be back already and fit for us next week to come on. That's what we want. Steve says, there 5 matches, no goals for City there. Bizarre. Yeah, it is bizarre. Completely bizarre. It makes no sense. Absolutely makes no sense. But anyway, there you go. It's one of them things, isn't it? Maybe one day you might get a win there, but anyway, we'll see. So Terry says there, Richard tricked me. I thought this show was ending, just making me late home again. Really don't know why I like you. Like, well, you know, it keeps you out of trouble, Terry. That's what it's about, isn't it?
That's it, mate.
So that is the end of the show. Anyway, it has been is it episode 22, I think, of the Arsenal Review. Well, 22 episodes in.
22.
And we're still top of the league. We're still top of the league after 22 episodes. Who would have thought that at the start of the season? Only Neil. He's the only one who thought that would be the case. But no, I mean, it's been a good season so far. Let's get it finished properly and starting tomorrow night. So anyway, good to see Melvin back, because I know Mondays haven't been working for you recently, because you know you now you're a thespian. You've got bigger fish to fry on a Monday night than coming to. Go on, give your show a big plug so people can go and watch it, because it's so important.
Let me get tickets. Tickets, Melvin.
It starts on the 23rd of Feb, running to the 26th for performances. It's in the Woodford area, that's in Essex. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Lord Arthur Savile's Crimes.
We're all getting there.
Yeah, it's it's on. It's on the Reverend's Drama Centre, you put that in. You get, go online and get tickets. That's obviously, you live locally to that, which I don't anymore, so I've got to go there. But no, it's good. It's a good play, quite funny, very funny, even when it's not supposed to be funny. No, it's good. It's and also Monday night is the night we have to rehearse the last 2 or 3 months. So from Monday week, this coming Monday week, then I'll be all right. I can now come on Mondays again.
Hey. Oh, brilliant. Instead of driving. Which part are you playing in this play?
I'm playing the part of a guy that reads palms. Tell the future.
Really?
Psychic. Man City result, though. Yeah, psychic. Yeah, can't get the Man City result. Never mind. No, it's good fun. Good fun. It's decent standard. Apart from me, it's decent standard as well. Decent.
Yeah. Excellent.
That sounds great. So if you're in the Woodford area in the end of February, definitely get a ticket to that and go and see Melvin.
It's
and
on give my some Twitter
love
as well.
Crowd.
My Twitter handle. Follow me on that. You'll get the post or the leaflet.
And you'll get signed. It'll sign your show things as well.
The program.
That's it. Get a signed program. There you go. I'm gonna come in my Arsenal outfit, mate.
Shorts, football boots.
There we go.
That'll be exciting. We'll look forward to that. Steve says, "Watch out for the women in Essex." Well, yeah, you've got to be careful of women in Essex. There's no doubt about that. That'll be fun, won't it? But no, I mean, if you're in the Woodford, definitely check that out. Get some tickets and go and cheer Melvin on from in real life, actually, rather than just watching him on the show. Actually, go in real life. You can actually watch him performing for real on stage. It'd be brilliant. So definitely go support that. That is going to be great. Anyway, it's good to see you again, Melvin. Anyway, back on this show. And I say, hopefully, you'll be back regular soon. Which
yeah, we will be definitely. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
And Steve as well. Good to see you again.
We'll be there tomorrow. We'll send you a few videos through the day, Rich. They won't.
Oh, that'll be good.
They'll start off okay. They'll probably end. Yes. Yeah, some of them you won't be able to spot.
They'll end in chaos, I'm sure. Terry says there, can you put it down on Herne Bay Theatre? He said Woodford's too far away. Well, Herne Bay is a bit of a try out for the seaside. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Maybe we'll have to do a tour of Great Britain, Melvin.
Can I do that? That sounds good. Good idea,
Melvin in tights going around the UK. Amazing.
Yeah. That'd be good, do a tour. Loki says Essex wear high heels, join the M11. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is kind of not far wrong there, Loki. That's why I got out of Essex for that reason. Steve says, well done, chaps. Enjoy it. No, good to see you, Steve. And I say, enjoy the game tomorrow. Obviously, not too much, but there you go. I'm sure that you will. That was episode 22. That was good fun. And big week. Big week for Arsenal. 6 points up for grabs, and let's see how many we'll get. And I say tomorrow might decide it. But we look forward to that game tomorrow. I'll be here, of course, for the watch. It's 7:30 kickoff or something stupid, isn't it? Is it early kickoff?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm getting into London for about 12:30. So no idea. I probably won't even know.
It definitely doesn't kick off at 12:30. That's on Saturday, the 12:30 kickoff. I'm sure it's a bit. It's not 8:00, is it? Because it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah, 7:30. What time is it kicking off? Half 7.
So kickoff is at 7:30, is it? So half 7. So so I'll start the show about 7:15. We'll go for all that. That's going to be good. We're going to enjoy that one tomorrow. So join us for that if you can. And then on Friday we've got the women's shows back. We're going to be looking ahead to the Arnold Clark Cup and also looking back on last week's not very good performance against Man City. So that'll be on Friday. And then of course Saturday, Aston Villa. Wow, that's going to be another big game, isn't it? So join us for that one as well, Saturday lunchtime, 12:30 kickoff. So we'll go live about 12:15. And hopefully it's going to be a big week, 6 points up for grabs, and hopefully 6 points will be won, and then we will be flying, and everything will be great on the world of Arsenal. Mark C says, 7:30. Yeah, cheers for that, mate. Yeah, it's 7:30 kickoff tomorrow. So a bit earlier than usual, but gets it out of the way, doesn't it? So we've still got time to... You know, hopefully celebrate. Yeah, I'm sure Steve will be celebrating anyway, won't he? Regardless. Terry says, thanks again, chaps. Great show. I much appreciate it for your time. Take care and coming on. No, cheers, Terry, for watching. Everyone else in the chat as well. Don't forget, give us a like before you leave as well, because that would be much appreciated. And I'll see you tomorrow for the big game. Arsenal Man City. Wow. Takes me back to my first ever Arsenal match. That was a 1-0 win. We'll take a 1-0 win tomorrow, won't we? That'll be good. But I don't think it'll be Raphael Meade. It won't be Raphael Meade scoring a goal this time. It'll be someone else. Who knows? It might be Trossard. Let's hope so. Anyway, we will see you tomorrow. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks to Melvin and to Steve and, of course, to Lee as well. Having his nice meal now. I'm sure he's enjoying himself. And we will go and see you tomorrow. Take it easy. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
North London!
North London! Go.
Real Martinelli. It's now with Granit Xhaka. Is it going to be the third goal? It is the third goal. Granit Xhaka with it. That's easy.